My friends, fellow travelers on our journey through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We've gathered again today to study the Bible together, and I want to begin by posing a question. What is God's place in your life? Now, I know that many of you might instinctively respond, after all, you've made the decision to listen to this Bible study today. Well, God should be first place in our life. Indeed, that's a common and, in a sense, a correct answer, an answer deeply rooted in the Ten Commandments, where we are commanded very clearly not to have any other gods before the one true God. However, what if I told you that merely saying God was to be first place in your life might not be entirely accurate? I wonder how you'd react to that. Well, today, that's the rather, well, perhaps confusing notion that I'd like us to study, to consider today. So welcome to the Bible Project Daily Podcast. Hello again, friends. Today we turn our attention for the second time to the book of Numbers, specifically chapter 2 of the book of Numbers. Now, if you've been following us through our journey through the Old Testament, well, the entire Bible, but the Old Testament in particular, you're probably already become familiar with the amount of repetition we've encountered so far. Well, let me tell you that Numbers chapter 2 takes repetition to a whole new level. But amidst this repetition lies a profoundly important truth, one that serves as an illustration for us today. Maybe God repeated it because he wanted us to know it was important. So I'll begin by reading the text today, the whole of chapter 2, and in my Bibles it's titled The Arrangement of the Tribal Camps. It says this, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, the Israelites are to camp around the tent of meeting, some distance from it, each of them under their standard and holding the banners of their family. On the east towards the sunrise, the divisions of the camp of Judah are to encamp under their standard. The leader of the people of Judah is Nahshon, son of Amminadab, and his division numbers 74,600. The tribe of Issachar will camp next to them. The leader of the people of Issachar is Nathanael, son of Zur. His division numbers 54,400. The tribe of Zebulun will be next. The leader of the people of Zebulun is Eliab, son of Helon. His division numbers 57,400. All the men assigned to the camp of Judah, according to their division, numbered 186,400. They will set out first. On the south will be the divisions of the camp of Reuben, under their standard. The leader of the people of Reuben is Eliezer, son of Shedeur. His division numbers 46,500. The tribe of Simeon will camp next to them. The leader of the people of Simeon is Shelluel, son of Zurahidi. His division numbers 59,300. The tribe of Gad is next. The leader of the people of Gad is Elizapath, son of Deuel. His division numbers 46,500. All the men assigned to the camp of Reuben, according to their divisions, number 151,450. They will set out second. Then the tent of meeting and the camps of the Levites will set out in the middle of the camps. They will set out in the same order as they encamp, each in their own place, under their standard. On the west will be divisions of the camp of Ephraim, under their standard. The leader of the people of Ephraim is Elishama, son of Ammanuhud. His division numbers 49,500. The tribe of Manasseh will be next to them. The leader of the people of Manasseh is Gamaliel, son of Pedahzur. His division numbers 32,200. The tribe of Benjamin will be next. The leader of the people of Benjamin is Abidan, son of Gideoni. His division numbers 35,400. All the men assigned to the camp of Ephraim, according to their divisions, number 108,100. They will set out third. On the north will be the divisions of the camp of Dan, under their standard. The leader of Dan is Ahazir, son of Amishadai. His division numbers 62,700. The tribe of Asher will camp next to them. The leaders of the people of Asher is Pagiel, son of Okran. His division numbers 41,500. The tribe of Naphtali will be next. The leaders of the people of Naphtali is Ahara, son of Enan. His division numbers 53,400. All the men assigned to the camp of Dan number 157,600. They will be set out last under their standards. These are the Israelites counted according to their families, all the men in their camps by their divisions. They number 603,550. The Levites, however, were not counted among the other Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses. So the Israelites did everything the Lord commanded Moses. That is the way they encamped under their standards, and that is the way they set out, each of them with their clan and family. Okay, that's the passage. Bit of repetition, as I said, but let's see what we can learn from it today. Now, in the opening verses, we read that the Lord instructed Moses and Aaron to say, every one of the children of Israel shall camp under their own standard, each holding their own emblems, the banners of their father's house, the families, in other words, and they shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting. So let's just pause straight away and unpack that directive for a moment. The key words here are the fact, the word it says, everyone. So this applies to the whole nation, but each stand going and gathering together under their own family standards. Each tribe of Israel was to camp according to its standard and its own emblems, being the emblems of the fathers' houses within that. But also they were meant to maintain their camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting. Now, what does maybe on the surface appear rather mundane, detailed, repetitive instructions, well, it reveals something to us. I think overall it speaks volumes about the organization, order, and structure that God desires among his people. But it also hints at something deeper, something that transcends the mere placement of a hierarchy. You see, what is essential is to acknowledge that God's rightful place as the center, as first in our lives. But there's a dimension beyond this. God here isn't just desiring to be first. He desires to permeate every aspect of our existence. He desires himself to be woven into the very fabric of our being, inseparable from every emblem, every identity, every standard upon which we assign ourselves, every standard which we uphold. In the same way, just as each tribe has its own standard, representing its unique identity and heritage, God wants all of us, this day, even worldwide, to be integrated into the distinctiveness of those who know who they are and how the fact that God lies at the center of their lives. God just doesn't want to be confined to a singularly top priority of one particular division or area of life, but he wants to be intricately intertwined into every facet of our lives. So what does that mean for us today? Well, simply, friends, I think it means simply acknowledging that God's place extends beyond a mere ranking in our priorities. It means inviting him into every aspect of our lives, allowing his presence to permeate every emblem of our identity, every standard that we would seek to uphold. As believers, living out their faith, we ought to remember that this passage is telling us that God's desire isn't just to be first, but to be what theologians and hymn writers have called for centuries, our all in all. God wants us to open our hearts and our lives to his transformative presence, allowing him not just to be first, but to be in everything we do. One way to illustrate this would be with a Venn diagram. You could take all the interests of your life and list them and give them a circle on size of how much part of your overall life, all the areas of your life you're involved in, all the communities you're involved in, all the things that you support and believe in. And the idea being that on that Venn diagram, the one place where they should all cross should be that God should be at the center, the one thing that permeates every part of our life. Okay, let's dig deeper into the passage and try and uncover a little bit more and see what it holds for us today. You see, in this passage from Numbers, we're obviously given a very detailed account of how on that day those 12 of his tribes of Israel were arranged around the tabernacle, which, remember, was the sacred dwelling place of God. And it was a bit like our Venn diagram of life. It was the thing that was central, or should be central, among God's people. So if we break down the key points flagged up here in the passage, we see the tabernacle at the center. The tabernacle is placed at the center of this entire arrangement, this entire camp, and the tabernacle is there in the center, and it itself is a rectangular courtyard with a tent at the back, which serves as a central place of worship and communion with God. And then around that, we see the arrangement of the tribes. The tribes are arranged around the tabernacle in specific formations, and we see in this the tribes gathered on each side of the tabernacle, with three of the 12 tribes assigned to each side. The tribal standards, the emblems, are also prominent, which designate their place around the tabernacle. According to tradition, these standards include symbols like the lion for Judah, a man's head for Reuben, and an ox for Ephraim, and an eagle for Dan. All four designations and positions are given for both north, south, east, and west. So this passage has described for us the arrangement of the tribes on the east side of the tabernacle, if we just take that as an example, showing that those who face the rising sun are declared to be Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, and they're designated to camp on that side, with each tribe having its own leader and its own military force, its own brigade, its own division, if you like, part of this overall designation. The individual numbers are given for each tribe, the fact that they each have a designated leader, and the passage provides the number of men for each tribe's army. An example for this group on this one side, the example I quickly draw out is Judah, 74,000, Issachar, 54,000, and Zebulun, 57,000. So the total numbers for that quadrant, that quarter, if you like, is given as 186,400. And that is repeated for the other three positions around the tabernacle, north, south, east, and west. So in summary, the passage outlines in great detail for us the organization and the arrangements of the tribe around the tabernacle. It highlights the roles, the leaders, the positions, the numbers of each individually, each collective compass designation, if you like. And it also gives us the total number being 603,500. So this is a very detailed account, isn't it, of how God instructed his people on that day to set up their camp, their lives, their community, their nation, and emphasizing detailed, intricate order and unity in that practice, both in terms of worship, service, and how they lived as a nation.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
Now, when we consider these verses and how detailed the organization of the tribes around the tabernacle is, you might find yourself wondering, well, yeah, that's all well and good, but what has that to do with me today? It might seem like a meticulous account of numbers and arrangements are very far removed from our daily lives. But let me assure you, as I've said many times before, every detail in God's word is inspired by God himself, and we are told throughout Scripture is profitable for us. So what are we meant to glean from these verses today? Well, one general but unmistakable lesson is the importance of orderliness in our lives. I believe God desires order among his people and order among us individually in how we live our lives, both in our larger encampment, so to speak, and in how the direction in which we go and travel, as in our lives, both as community and individual. Remember, he specified which tribes were to camp where, and even designated the order of departure when breaking camp to depart to somewhere new. So this is a very detailed designation here. I imagine some of you might be familiar with a guy called Dennis Prager, particularly the Americans who may be listening to this. He's a Jewish radio and podcast commentator known for his philosophical insights when approaching particularly the Jewish faith. Now, he recently embarked on a commentary series on the Torah in his own podcast series, and also some of you may know him more likely as part of a group of theologians who, along with Jordan Peterson, discussed the book of Exodus in a roundtable discussion recently on YouTube and the Daily Wire. But in his Prager's own exploration of Genesis, he made a fascinating observation. Prager noticed that the overarching theme of creation, as he saw it, is the restoration of order from chaos. In Genesis 1, we see God bringing order out of chaos, shaping the formless earth into a structured creation. This theme of order permeates not only the creation narrative, but also the entirety of Scripture, Christians would say, both Old and New Testament. Now, while I believe this passage in Numbers is one of among many, and maybe the first, that suggests God's clear purpose is to bring order to the cosmos, the important thing here is it's teaching us that that order also is desired to be brought into our own individual lives as well and how we live them. So what might that look like for us today? Well, I would suggest, friends, it means recognizing the value of a certain level, a detailed level, of godly orderliness in our own lives. So while it's easy to dismiss these Old Testament repetitive passages as irrelevant, they actually, this one and others, they serve as reminders of God's desire for order and structure in every aspect of our existence. In our fast-paced world, distractions and the chaos that they begin can make it difficult, but certainly beneficial, to embrace God's order in your life. Because it's only then, I think, we can have a real sense of peace and stability, that we can bring order out of the chaos, whether it's just simply by organizing our schedules, prioritizing our responsibilities, or maintaining harmony in our relationships. God's desire for order definitely challenges, well, how can I put it, to live our lives intentionally and purposefully, both as individuals, but also as communities, and yes, friends, even as nations. So as we reflect on what may seemingly be routine, repetitive verses, let's remember that the big picture here is God is trying to show us that he has a desire for order, and that extends beyond, way beyond, these ideas of ancient encampments or census lists of people's names. It's meant to encompass every area of our lives, because God wants us to live our lives with clarity, purpose, intention, and most importantly, alignment with his divine will and priorities. So as we may strive for a certain level of orderliness in our lives, the thing to remember is by doing so, we will find peace in the fact that God is the God. He will bring order out of chaos. And if we trust in his guidance and the priorities that he wants to set in our life, we are really set for our faith journey. So what I think he's saying to us in this passage is, well, ultimately, I suppose he's saying, do you want to serve me? Do you want to follow me? Well, in order to do that, you need to have your life in order. You need to set your priorities. So it's not just about having your home clean or your desk organized. It's about having order in your life. And what does that actually mean? Well, I think it means very simply, you've got to get your priorities straight. You've got to decide not only what is first in life, but what is second and what is third. And that is why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Follow on. So that's the order. Jesus's order. God's order. God is a God of order, and he expects us to set up a certain hierarchy, an order, a set of priorities in our life. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm suggesting you have to go all OCD about this and you have to go around the house and check every drawer and clean the house and tidy it. It's not about that, although that might indeed be a good thing for some people. No, I think it's about setting the overall priorities in your life. God first, family second, and maybe your job or what you're called to do in other aspects of your life third. I wonder how that sits with you now, thinking about it. Now, I'm not saying that if those changes need to be made that it's going to be easy. In fact, I know it's not going to be easy, but I do know this. It's necessary, and when it's done, it's really rewarding. You know, it's amazing to me that when things get in order, there's a peace that actually comes over us. I wonder if you've ever noticed that. Maybe in preparation, if you're doing an assignment or you've got a project to manage, you know when you finally get things set up in order, you know you're at the beginning of experiencing certain peace about the project you're involved in, and you're at the beginning of becoming effective in what you need to do. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that when things are in order, when the priorities are life, you get much more productive in life? So I think God is saying to us here, very simply, look, friends, he's saying, I want your life to be in order, and I need to be the first in the order of that things. But it's beyond that, he's saying, I want to be your all in all. And he's not saying that just because he's some control freak. Yes, he's a God of order. He's saying that ultimately out of love because he knows that's what's best for us. And he knows that when our lives are in order, we're in fact not only just more effective, we're happier, we're healthier, and we're more fulfilled. And that's what God wants for his children, just like any good father would. So there you have it. We see the tabernacle placed at the center here, and we've got these tribes on each side, all around. And God is making it clear, he's establishing the principle that in life everything should be done in a certain way. Now you might say, well, that's great. God likes order, but what's that got to do with me? How am I going to do that? Well, let me respond by asking you the question, how's your life? Is it in order? Do you have your priorities straight? You know, it's amazing to me that many people don't even go through their whole life without even thinking about what's really important to them. Is God the most important person in your life? Is your family important? Is your job important? Is your hobby important? Well, I would like to suggest that many people living in today in the West, their hobbies or their seeking and fulfillment of pleasure are indeed for them the most important thing in their lives. And that's what we need to consider. What is really the most important thing to you? It's a sad truth that a lot of times people have not even thought about it and they really don't even know what's important in their lives until everything else is stripped away and it's too late. You know, they get to the end of their life and they look back and they say things like, oh, you know, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish I'd spent more time understanding and serving the Lord. I wish I'd spent more time doing what really mattered in life. So my challenge to you today, pulled out of this passage, is to actually take a look at your life, to take a look at your priorities and ask yourself, are they really in order? And if they're not, then simply do something about it. Make sure that God is first in your life. Make sure that your family is second in your life. The most important thing in your life outside of God should be your family. And then make sure that the other things line up in third, fourth, fifth, whatever place. Make sure that everything falls into place, but after that first place, which is God himself. Because you know what? If your life is in order, you're going to be happier. You're probably going to be healthier as well. The evidence on that is stacking up more and more. But I do know you're also going to be more fulfilled. And I know also that that's what God wants for you. He wants you and I, all of us, to have an abundant life. He wants us to have a life that's full of joy, peace and purpose. And the way to do that is simply to have your priorities in life aligned with God's priorities for you. So as we close today's study, let's encourage each other. Let me encourage you to take a look at your life. Take a look at your priorities. Are they in the right order? And if they're not, make the necessary changes. The important thing is, if they're not in the right order, do something about it. Make sure that God is first in your life and everything falls into place around that. And when you do that, life's going to be better, you're going to be happier, and of course you're going to be fulfilled, because ultimately that's simply what God wants for you. He wants you to have an abundant life. He really wants you to have a life full of joy, peace and purpose. And the way to do that is simply to have your life aligned with His desires for you. But you know what? When I talked about it's more than just being first, here's the thing. It's not about quantity. And so if you're one of those people who has made that commitment, is actually serving in your church or your community, actually making a difference and motivated to do it out of a desire to serve the Lord, let me tell you, you are making an impact, even if it doesn't feel it sometimes, and that's what really matters. You know, Jesus didn't come to build a big church building. He actually came, He said Himself, simply to make disciples. He came to build people rather than buildings. People who would follow Him, people who would serve Him, people who would make a difference in the world by having their priorities right. And if you're one of those people who's doing that, then you're doing exactly what you're called to do. So be encouraged. So as we close today, let me encourage you to keep up the good work. Keep serving the Lord. Keep making a difference, because I know, because the Word of God tells me, you are making a difference. You may not see it, but one day you will stand before the Lord and He's going to say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So to close finally, let me just ask you to think about what it really means to have the right order, the right priorities in your life. You see, it's not just about putting God first in your life. It's much more important about that. The key thing we're looking for here is giving Him preeminence in every aspect of your life. It's about allowing Him to have the highest priority, the greatest importance in everything we do. You see, it's easy to say that God comes first in your life, but the real question is, does He have preeminence in every area of His life? Does He have the ultimate authority, the supreme influence in every area of our lives? That's what really matters. And so as we've reflected on Numbers chapter 2 and what seems like a repetitive, orderly arrangement of tribes around the tabernacle, let's still remember it's more than just about putting God first in one thing. It's about giving Him preeminence in all things of our life. It's about allowing Him to be at the center of our lives, guiding us, leading us, directing us in everything we do. So let's aim, friends, to give God preeminence in every aspect so that He may be truly glorified in all things. So let's not just put God first on the list. Let's put Him at the center of the page and write everything around it, so to speak. Put Him at the center of everything we do. Make Him the focal point, the center of the Venn diagram, the guiding force in every aspect of our lives. And as we strive to do that, just as the tribe of Israel were arranged around the tabernacle with God at the center, let's place God at the center of our lives. Let's, friends, give Him the preeminence He deserves in everything we do. And we'll finish it there today. Okay, I do hope you find that helpful. 2 days into the book of Numbers. This podcast is hosted on the Bible Project Daily Podcast. You can subscribe there. That way you'll never miss another single episode. You can also subscribe on wherever it is you get your podcasts from. Then you should be freely able to access this podcast every time. There should be links available to you to reach out and connect with me on socials, where the podcast's hosted. There's also a link to my new history-based podcast, The History of the Christian Church, and there's also a link there to Patreon. Patreon is a really important part of the vision for this Bible study and beyond. It's the place where people connect in community with this ministry, and some even choose to support it there. This is my only income now, and Lord willing, through the support of people, I'll be able to keep doing this. Patreon is the place where you can share with this vision and ensure that this podcast remains free around the world on all the major podcast platforms. Not only today, but my vision is that it should remain as a resource when completed, the whole Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It should stay there for as long as possible. I really couldn't do this without the support of those people. And as a thank you to them, by joining the Patreon community, you have access to tons and tons, hours and hours of extra bonus material, stuff that I'm creating every week that isn't part of the main podcast, the main thing, the Bible study, the Bible Project daily study, but reflects all the different areas of my ministry life and outreach life beyond this podcast. So anyway, that's it. The main thing is I'm so grateful that so many of you have simply made the decision to make the study, the in-depth study, not just the reading. We've all, I'm sure, done these yearly reading plans in the past. This, my friends, is an in-depth study of the Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, Lord willing, through the whole Bible. And I trust you'll join with me on that journey, and I'll see you back here again tomorrow on the Bible Project Daily Podcast. Bye-bye for now.